Good evening, Trinity. Glad you're here with us this Ash Wednesday service. We had a busy day with our school. We had our first two chapels, and this morning we told them that we're burying a word named Alleluia, which means praise Him or praise God. And so for the next 40 days, they know they can't say that name, that word. And so that will be something that will also not be a part of our services until Easter, when we realize that our Lord and our Savior is raised from death to life, and the victory is ours as well as His. And so at that point, we'll be seeing and singing the Alleluia. Tonight marks Ash Wednesday. You'll be having the opportunity to receive the imposition of ashes upon your forehead or upon your hand. Or if you don't wish to do that, come forward anyway for a blessing. Just cross yourself. We'll have communion a little later after that. It's a very special night. Special night as we begin this Lenten season of 40 days recalling and remembering and focusing upon the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that He is willing to do that for you and for me and for a world. Please stand and greet one another at this point. Hello, how are you, Dennis? Did you get your numbers?
Yes.
Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth, a sinner from my mother's womb. Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure. Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities.
exalting tempter's power. Turn, oh, turn a favoring eye. Hear our penitential cry. Of dire despair, I'm thine agony of prayer. Spear and torturing storm. The skies dream, sacrifice. Listen to our humble sigh. Hear our penitent penitential cry.
You may be seated. Somehow I lost my bulletin. There we are. May the Lord Jesus be with you this night. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made. And forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us a contrite heart, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and the forgiveness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our first lesson this evening is taken from the book of Psalm, the 49th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Hear this, all people. Give ear, all inhabitants of the word. Both low and high of the world, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble? When the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. Though they called lands by their own names, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them people approve of their boast. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of your salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, So that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness,
to the Holy Spirit, genuine love by truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and through praise. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand. The Holy Gospel this evening is written in the book of St. John, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify the Son, that the Son may be glorified in you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Here ends the reading of our gospel. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you here this evening. Our text is taken from the Gospel lesson, John 17, beginning with the first verse and following. If you want to follow along, the pew Bibles in front of you can certainly be there for you to open up to John 17, beginning with verse 1. It is the high priestly prayer, and for those of you who like to read your Bible on the internet over your iPhone, just pull that out. And as you're going by Facebook, you can click on that and click that you're downtown Trinity and say something nice. Also, I'd like to say that at this time, there's a couple of cards in the front part of the pew there. Just grab those, and if you would fill the blue one out, make sure and fill that out. If you're a visitor or a guest, we'd like to ask you to do the same. And for those of you who are wanting any prayer requests, the yellow card is there for you as well. Thank you. The elders will pick that up at the time of offering. This night, we're going to be looking at prayer and the power of prayer. And what we start to see and understand that prayer is often, by many people, seen as powerless. A last resort, a last vestige of help. Often we start out, even in our own plans and meetings, sometimes even at church, We plan all these wonderful things, and then we say, oh, we should have a closing prayer. And we say, God, would you bless all these good ideas and the things that we thought of? Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I think God has a whole lot more for us in store for prayer than what we've just talked about so far. I've learned that prayer is powerful. I've learned that it changes things, including things in our world today. I have found that prayer is not only not a last resort, it is the first resort. And I've seen prayers answered in my life, in my marriage, and in our ministry. Hear with me some of the quotes that come from other texts or places, readings. You can do more than prayer after you prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Prayer is the winning blow. W.S. Gordon. God shapes our world by prayer. And then, of course, we have Martin Luther, who we know would see that prayer was a crucial part of the human life, a life that was created by a relationship to God. And in prayer, we have an opportunity to communicate with our Heavenly Father, to approach the throne of grace with confidence and mercy, and be able to know that He promises to hear and to bring His answer to every one of our prayers. Luther is said to have been a man that would say he prayed 2 days or 2 hours each and every day. But when he had especially difficult or troublesome things to do, he said when he's really busy, he had to pray at least 3, maybe 4 hours a day. Prayer was essential. Jesus believed, and he engaged in prayer. Lots of it. He prayed the high priestly prayer the night before he was crucified. Why? If prayer is not that essential or important, why would Jesus spend such an important last few hours to do that? No. Jesus, because of his great power of prayer and its importance, saw it as a prominent part of his ministry and of his life. John 17 begins to give us a glimpse of some of these things. In verse 1, we read that Jesus prayed. And he prayed for us. And you may find that odd if you were thinking about dying tomorrow, especially a crucifixion. You would find it very difficult to be going and praying some of these things, as we mere humans believe and think and see things. But I find it important to note that Jesus stopped and he prayed for us. He prayed to give eternal life so that those who would know that he was the Son of God and the Heavenly Father was the only true God and Jesus was the one whom he had sent, he basically says that knowing and believing in God is eternal life. That you and I have in this high priestly prayer how we get to know God. And by doing that, we have the opportunity to also see the promise that is ours, eternal life itself. Jesus then went on to say, I've accomplished the work, Father, that you have given me to do. Glorify me now. Jesus is Savior. He was basically saying, I'm going to die tomorrow, and the work that I do have been done to accomplish you and to accomplish this mission will occur on the cross of Calvary. And thus, Jesus was praying for our eternal life, that he knew that the payment for our sins had to occur on Calvary's cross. It was only through the shedding of blood that sins of the world could be forgiven. And Jesus knew that, and he came to accomplish the Father's mission, that you and I would know the truth, that you and I and our world that we live in would know that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus also prayed for the fruits of his ministry of redemption, a fruit that would bring a rich harvest to all who would believe in him, all and any who would embrace him. Jesus, you might say, was really putting it on the line at this final hour, at this 12th hour, you might say. The time before the hammer and the nails were driven. Jesus was putting it on the line before the whip and the scourge would occur, before the crown of thorns would be placed upon his head, and of course the cross that he would bear upon his back. Jesus prayed that his suffering and his death would have such a deafening blow to the devil that he would deal him defeat. Jesus prayed that all of this would restore our relationship with God. The Father, we are his children, and that's what was on the line. Jesus prayed for the return of what he had before his birth in Bethlehem. Restore unto me the glory, Father, that I had with you before the existence of the world. Jesus, the Eternal One, prayed that his Heavenly Father, looking at his accomplished mission upon Calvary, would see that Jesus would be restored with that heavenly glory that he had at the beginning and before the beginning of time. He says, I have laid down my life that I might pick it up again later in John. And as you and I start to think of it, I'm amazed again that Jesus stopped at this hour, at this time, to pray for you and for me. And he says in this next verse, I'm praying for them, the disciples, you and me, that they are yours. And Jesus says, I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except Judas, the son of destruction. And on the night before Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, was to be sacrificed, he prayed for us, you and me, and the disciples, of course. He prays for us in the power of prayer. He prays for our protection as well as our redemption. You and me. That was the content of Jesus' prayer. Later, he would also pray that we'd be protected from the evil one. And then he said, Holy Father, keep them in your name, that they, us, may be one, even as we are one. What was Jesus doing? He was interceding with the Heavenly Father on our behalf. He was going before the Father's throne and asking that we would be made one. One with him and one with his son. And that we would also be one with one another. He prays to the Father that he would intervene on our behalf. And to keep us in the name of Jesus. According to his faith and his will, we would be seeing that you and I would be looking at Jesus interceding. Not because of anything we have done. And the verse, John 3:16, it really means quite a bit more. When we start to see that Jesus on that very same night would be praying such a prayer. That God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in his name would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That he or she would be made one with the Heavenly Father and with his Son and with the Holy Spirit. And that we would be one with them even as the Father is with the Son. And then Jesus turns to our mission and purpose. And he says, I don't ask you, Father, that you take them out of the world. That we would escape all the tragedy and triumphs and all the problems of this world. No, Jesus says, I pray that you would keep them, dear Father, from the evil one. Sanctify them, make them holy, set them apart. Your word is truth. That will make them holy. Verse 18. And then Jesus says, as you sent me into the world, I now send them into the world. You've heard me say it often from this very pulpit. Dear brothers and sisters, you're not only saved, you're sent. You are sent with the saving gospel message of Jesus. And as Jesus intercedes before the Heavenly Father on your behalf and on behalf of me, he now gives us a rich opportunity to be vessels of His mercy and of His grace, and to do the very same thing, and to stand before the Heavenly Father in the confidence in the name of Jesus, and to ask those blessings upon those brothers and sisters that we're sharing these messages of hope, of salvation, and of forgiveness with. And that's what Jesus really says. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through the word that we share. This is God's doing. This is God's plan. The producer simply wants us to distribute that message through us. The intercessor wants us to intercede through us. The mediator wants us to mediate through us. The representative of redemption, Jesus Christ, wants us to represent Him as His mercy and as His vessel of grace. We are God's go-between to share this wondrous good news. And the victor over death and the grave now gives us this opportunity to share this victory and to enforce it in the ways of being able to share it in the name of Jesus, to forgive sins, to strengthen faith, and to offer hope to people who are locked up in darkness and hopelessness. Think of it. Jesus, the minister of reconciliation, has given you and me the opportunity to be ambassadors of hope, of reconciliation, now representing Him in this world to offer reconciliation. Why? Jesus closes this text by saying in verse 20 and 21 that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus prays for you. Jesus intercedes for you. And now He's not only saved you, He's also sent you in Jesus' name. May the peace of God and the power of His salvation be yours, and may it also be yours to share in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Friends in Christ, we begin this holy season of Lent by acknowledging our need for repentance and for God's mercy. We are created to experience joy in communion with God, to love one another, and to live in harmony with creation. But our sinful rebellion, our neighbors and creation, so that we do not enjoy the life of our Creator intended. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to a discipline that contends against evil and resist whatever leads us away from the love of God and our neighbor. I invite you, therefore, to the disciplines of Lent: self-examination and repentance, prayer and fasting, sacrificial giving and works of love, strengthened by the gifts of word and sacrament, let us continue our journey through these 40 days to the great 3 days of Jesus' death and resurrection. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most holy and merciful God, company of heaven, that we have sinned by our own fault, by our own most grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, O God. Our negligence in prayer and worship and our failure to share the faith that is in us, we confess to you. Our neglect of human need and suffering and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, we confess unto you. Our false judgments, our uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us, we confess to you. Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. You may be seated. We'll invite the usher to bring forth our congregants as they can be ushered forward. And also I'd like to say once again, for those of you who will be receiving the ashes, the imposition of ashes, we'd like to have you remember that you are dust, and in dust you will return. And our elder, Bob Trapp, and myself will place these crosses either upon your forehead or upon your hand. And if you want to come forward and not receive that, you can do this as well. And that will be our sign that we'll just offer a prayer blessing to you. Thank you.
Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Bob, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Receive the sign of the cross, for you are redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross, for you are redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Well, take and receive the sign of the cross, for you are redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross, for you are redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross, for you are redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Jim, receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Ish, receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Mike, receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Jeff, receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Glenda, receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Eva, receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross, for you are redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Tracy, receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Deborah, receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Jay, receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. The Lord Jesus bless you and keep you. Would you like a cross? Okay. Watch Grandma.
Receive the sign of the cross, Terry, as you have been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross, Barbara, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Karen, receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Eric, receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Gary, receive the sign. Glenn, receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. The one on your forehead, receive the sign of the cross, for you're redeemed by Christ the Crucified. You got some on your nose. Receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Bob, receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Taylor, receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. What happened? Receive the sign of the cross, because you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Diana, take. Receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Brett, receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. David, receive the sign of the cross, because you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Linda, receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross, because you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. William, receive the sign of the cross because you've been redeemed by Christ. You, receive the cross of Christ for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. You have been redeemed by Christ the Crucified and have received this cross as a sign of your salvation. Receive the sign of the cross for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Dennis, receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Gladys, receive the sign of the cross, because you have been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Omar, receive the sign of the cross, because you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross because you have been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Jaron, receive the sign of the cross because you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Yeah. Receive the sign of the cross, Ethan, for you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive, Luciana, the sign of the cross because you have been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Claudia, receive the sign of the cross because you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive, Felix, the sign of the cross because you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Receive the sign of the cross. You've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Gene. Ken, receive the sign of the cross because you have been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation. By the cross and passion of your Son, our Savior, Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks. I'll take that. You guys go ahead and get offering, but pick up those cards if they have them. Yeah. Were you on the green? If they have them, collect them. And then they'll give them to me. Lord and Savior Jesus, we give you thanks now in the words that you taught us with respect of Holy Communion. On the same night in which you were betrayed, you took the bread. When you'd broken it, you gave thanks, and you gave it unto your disciples. And you said, "Take and eat, this is my body given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner, you also took the cup, and after you'd supped, and after you'd blessed it, you gave thanks and you gave it unto your disciples, and you said, "Take and drink ye, all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated. Bob, take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for you, Ken, the body of Christ. Receive now the blood of Christ, given unto death for you, Bob. Now may this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve in each of us the true faith and the life everlasting. Pardon his peace.
Christ bless you. Glad you came to church. Take and eat the body of Jesus given unto death. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Ethan, take and eat the true body of Christ. Luciana Grace, may you be blessed this day and all days as we look forward to bringing you in the waters of holy baptism into the family of God. Amen. Claudia, take and eat the true body of Jesus given for you. Gladys, take and eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you, Omar. The body of Christ, Janice, given for you. Dennis, the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ for you. Take and eat the true body of Jesus. Linda, given unto death for you. Brad, take and eat the true body of Jesus. Given unto death for you, Dinah. The body of Jesus, David. The body of Christ, take and eat. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Depart now in his peace. Your sins have been forgiven. Amen. For you, the forgiveness of all sin, Karen. Take and eat, Daniel, the body of Christ.
Christ given for you.
Bob, take and eat, body of Christ. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat now, body of Jesus, given unto death for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and the strengthening of your faith, Clay. Please stand. Lord and Savior Jesus, we do indeed give you thanks. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith that we've received in this, your very body and blood, in the form of bread and wine. We receive forgiveness, faith, salvation, and the promise of life everlasting. Lord, as we look at our congregation and ministry, may you bless us and the things that are left for us to remain to do. May you bless the mission of this place and the people who've not only been saved, but sent to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. We now pray that prayer which our Lord and Savior Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. We do not presume to come to your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. So to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and so to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell with him and he in us. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord Jesus lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. may be seated.